Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger's time. Tiger's time.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle once again. It is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 the Midlands, around the world on the iHeart Radio application. Always appreciate you being a part of this program. It is great to hang out with you. Clemson's hot streak on the recruiting trail continues today, nabbing another commitment, this time from a NFL legacy. We'll update you on that. Full coverage on our website right now, clemsonsportstalk.com. Additionally, college baseball, what a wild run it has become. Maybe nothing more notable than Notre Dame knocking out Tennessee, the number one ranked team, a team that was 57-9 this season, dominant, led college baseball in ERA, led college baseball in home runs, and they're done. Texas storms back against East Carolina to win the final two games in that series. Auburn tonight playing at Oregon State. And if the Auburn Tigers win that game, the SEC will be well represented at the College World Series as Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Ole Miss are already there. But let's not forget, Texas and Oklahoma are joining the league, which means if Auburn gets in, that's six SEC teams out of eight that would be playing in the College World Series. Essentially, I get it. Texas and Oklahoma are in the Big 12. Like, I get that. And if you want a little more, like, shocking nugget, Notre Dame again knocked out the top seed of Tennessee. Or you'd be talking about right now six SEC or future SEC teams in out of the six teams already in. The final two games of the College World Series, Stanford and Connecticut just getting underway. That was a suspected, is that the right word? Expected. There we go. 4 p.m. start time. Stanford and UConn in that game three. Winner advancing to the College World Series. Oregon State hosting Auburn. That's a 7:30 start tonight. Winner advances to the College World Series. So, with all that out there, the mega power of the SEC, if you will, the SEC potentially locking in six teams out of eight at the College World Series. And I know I'm granting some leeway here with Oklahoma and Texas. But I do think it begs the question. When you think about the future of college sports with an expanded SEC, when you think about what that league has been able to do to capitalize off of the financial benefits of football, and what potentially may loom for them. There's two ways to look at this. The first way is to look at it and go, well, you know what? I'm going to get tired of the SEC. I understand. I respect that opinion. The other way to look at it is this. In any way, shape, or form, within an expanded conferences, with conferences growing, one of the byproducts is absolutely going to be that there is less conference representation in championship series, in the Final Four, in the college football playoff. I mean, that's going to be a byproduct of your larger, more established, large, you know, bigger budgeted programs all coming together in one league. So you don't have to, at this point, be overly concerned, because I don't think this is going to be something that is unique to the SEC at points during college sports over the next 10 or 15 years. If leagues continue to add programs, if we get to 4 16-team conferences, my hunch is that at 64, you are probably going to see some of this. The numbers just bear it out. But maybe most impressively, the fact that Tennessee is not in and Notre Dame is. And you have to think back to the show on Friday. Mike Martin Jr. fired at Florida State. Rumors have been swirling about Link Jarrett maybe going to Clemson. Link Jarrett was a former Florida State baseball player. Some believe that the Seminoles, in advance of trying to get out in front of maybe Clemson, made a move to fire Mike Martin Jr. His father had an unbelievable career for the Seminoles. But Jr. wasn't getting the J-O-B-D-O-N-E, the job done. And so, he's out. Could that move have been made on Friday with the belief that because Tennessee baseball has been just dominant this season, that today would be a day where Florida State could hire Link Jarrett? I mean, maybe so. But instead, the Fighting Irish fight through. Tennessee's season crumbles. I saw tweets on social media, especially from our buddy William Quackenbush, who's, I think you would say, a bit of a purist of the game. William Quackenbush, who's not going to be with us in hour two, he is on vacation this week, looking to get hooked up with either Aaron Fitt from D1Baseball.com or Kendall Rogers. We may even get a stop by Nathaniel Rutherford, who covers the Tennessee Volunteers as well. But nonetheless, this Tennessee ball club had been sensational all season, but they were a little over the top when it came down to the unwritten rules of the game. Quark tweeting, Tennessee has played all season like rebellious teenagers whose parents are gone for the weekend. Now they look like whiny teenagers who think the rules don't apply to them. Hate to see it. He also said they made a mockery of the game all year long and didn't even get to Omaha. Hope all the bat flips and testosterone were worth it, Tennessee. The Volunteers out. Notre Dame, Link Jarrett advances, which pushes back, I'm certain, pushes back the potential landing spot for Link Jarrett at Florida State. Here's Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello following their season-ending loss to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at the Knoxville Super Regional.
Obviously, congratulations to Notre Dame. I'd say they have a lot to do with what I'm at fault for as far as decision-making and job of a coach is once the game starts, put your guys in a good position to succeed. And I didn't do that. But this is a job that requires big boy decisions, and they come at high stakes when you play in our league or you get into the postseason. A lot of that was discomfort from things we saw out of Notre Dame. So again, a credit to them. And then two, you got to execute. So they did that throughout the weekend. I thought our guys played good defense, and obviously we kind of did some damage yesterday on the scoreboard, but that'll stick with me. Notre Dame will get to go to Omaha and enjoy that and probably do some damage. It's a really tough group. And I think what needs to stick with our guys once time passes, which they say time heals all wounds. I don't know who they are because sometimes those take a long time. But 57, that's a lot. That's a lot. A team that bunch of good kids, a couple maniacs out there, but accused of bats. I've never seen a kid accused of doctoring a ball, accused of doing the Astros and banging on the bench. There's other. I mean, accused of signaling 3-3, and that's supposed to be the double bird. A lot of that stuff was just, you know, because of how dynamic they were as a group and what they accomplished. And they did some extraordinary things. And really, it was just kind of like yesterday. You slide Trey Lipscomb into the four hole, Drew Gilbert's out, and gets an RBI in the first inning. That obviously is not the most important play of the weekend, but it's one to me that defines this group of a bunch of guys that got each other's back.
So there you go. Again, Coach Tony Vitello of Tennessee, they are out. Program record 57 games. I mean, most baseball seasons, you know, if you get to 40 wins, that's a heck of a year. 57 wins, 9 losses, number one seed, no College World Series. 7-3, the final score yesterday. Notre Dame advances. Tennessee was 49-0 when leading after 6 innings heading into yesterday's game. But unfortunately, a couple of long balls in that contest, the Volunteers were unable to answer. And Chase Burns' great 6 innings pitched go by the wayside in the 7th. Burns allowed a 1-out double to Carter Putz. Got a pop-out, but Notre Dame catcher David LaManna hit a 2-run homer into the Tennessee bullpen to tie the score at 3 apiece. LaManna had only had 1 home run in his other 139 at-bats this season, so timing is everything on that front. Then, Brannington hit a long foul ball over the left field fence before squaring up onto another one that he took yard to give Notre Dame a lead they would not relinquish at 4-3. Burns end up allowing 4 runs on 5 hits and 6 2/3. And it was not enough, as the bats for Tennessee could also not do what they had done all season, which was carry the Volunteers. So that's it. Notre Dame advances. The Link Jarrett chase, so to speak, by Florida State continues. And with a couple of games, Stanford and Connecticut and Auburn and Oregon State taking place today, we still don't know what the entire docket at the College World Series will look like, but it is SEC heavy and future SEC heavier, as I mentioned, when you combine those two leagues at this point, or when you combine Texas and Oklahoma, who, by the way, remember, they were playing in the Women's Softball World Series, Texas and Oklahoma. So baseball season in the Midwest, just crushing it right now. And again, the SEC dominant. Notre Dame, the Atlantic Coast Conference's last hope, as every other ACC team, and there were four of them, all were eliminated over the weekend, including Virginia Tech, who a lot of people did not buy into the Hokies. I had a lot of people tell me, Swanee, and I said this, I thought, in fairness to Virginia Tech, one of the dynamics that can take place is that when a team is not quote-unquote known for success in a specific sport, they can be ostracized or not supported nearly as much as normal as some other teams would because you're not accustomed to them. Virginia Tech dropped the opening game on Friday, 5-4 to Oklahoma. They bounced back on Saturday, winning 14-8. But then yesterday, Virginia Tech falls 11-2, and they were eliminated from postseason play as the Oklahoma Sooners advanced to the College World Series. As for North Carolina, another team, well, let me actually start with Louisville because they played on Friday. Louisville lost 5-4 to Texas A&M on Friday, then were swept 4-3, final score on Saturday to wrap up that series. Arkansas beat North Carolina in the opener 4-1. And then knocked them off in game two, 4-3. Chapel Hill Regional, Chapel Hill done. ACC out. Leaving just Notre Dame remaining in the College World Series, awaiting the final couple of teams there in the College World Series. Also, obviously, Ole Miss knocked off Southern Miss to advance to the College World Series. Again, Texas, big yesterday, 11-1. They bounced back after losing game one. And Coach Goblin in East Carolina failed to reach the College World Series, which I know is a bitter disappointment, as that is a huge goal for them. Huge goal for them. And so, with that being said, that's kind of a pretty quick look, so to speak, at the weekend thus far. 803-450, and again, I got to extend the weekend into today because we've still got a couple of matchups taking place. Don't forget, no William Quackenbush on the program today. He is on vacation, enjoying some time at the beach. Told us he might even hit some golf balls. We've also got some NBA conversations coming up here on the program for you in just a little bit. As Game 5 tonight, 9 o'clock ABC, Golden State evened the series on the back of one of the best shooters we've ever seen, Steph Curry. But an aging Steph Curry was timeless in Game 4. And the Golden State Warriors steal back home court advantage. So we'll talk about that for sure coming up here on the program in just a little bit. But the recruiting trail for your Clemson Tigers, the recruiting trail for your Clemson Tigers has been on fire. Gasoline induced. Clemson rocketing up the recruiting rankings. Four-star after four-star after four-star committing. And today, that news continued as Clemson, about 1 o'clock this afternoon, secured the commitment of one of the top linebackers in the state of Georgia, an NFL legacy, and a young man that fits the mold that Wes Goodwin and company are looking for as it pertains to the linebacker spot in the future at Clemson. We'll give you some insight into that, plus a whole lot more, and a couple of other recruits expected to make their announcements known tomorrow. Listen, if you are a subscriber to our website, thank you. If you are not, consider subscribing. ClemsonSportsTalk.com. $1 for 3 months of coverage. We've added to the squad, and we are continuing to grow. We would love to have you support us. After those 3 months are done, you get locked in at a rate of $63.17. That's right, Gamecocks. I said it. $63.17. We come back and update you on recruiting right here on the show that shakes the Southland. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, on a Monday afternoon steamy, man. It was like 10 this morning, and it said it was 92, but felt like 101. Shut it down now, South Carolina. It is way too hot. Way too hot. 803-450-0086. Hot, speaking of, the recruiting trail for Clemson. Yes, it is. Including a very familiar name.
Flip backs this time. And this is where the crowd noise is the loudest. Chandler drop. Up the middle, touchdown. Jamal Anderson out of the backfield. And there's the Dirty Birds.
Jamal Anderson of Dirty Bird fame. His son, Jamal Anderson, committed to Clemson earlier today. We had the article up over on ClemsonSportsTalk.com for you. Anderson, an NFL legacy, becomes Clemson's 10th commit in the 2023 recruiting puzzle.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His mother, Mia, was a track star during her time at Georgia. He was a 7A All-Region and All-State selection back in 2021. 6'4", 202-pounder. Commits to Clemson. If you look at the Tigers and they're recruiting at the linebacker spot, think Trenton Simpson, Isaiah Simmons, Barrett Carter, okay, freakishly talented, athletic, long, lean, can move well in space. That's what you get with a kid like Jamal Anderson. He joins Christopher Vezina, Nathaniel Joseph, David Ojibe, Brandon Strozier, Ian Reed, Kylan Webb, Olsen Henry, Avion Terrell, and Noble Johnson as the 10th commit in the 2023 recruiting class. As for Avion Terrell, our exclusive interview with Terrell is up over on our website right now, ClemsonSportsTalk.com, for our premium subscribers. $1 for 3 months of coverage. After that, $63.17. Here's a snippet of our interview with Avion Terrell. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, and we are locked in right now with Avion Terrell, one of Clemson's latest commits, as the Tigers have picked up 2 commitments, Avion, since yesterday when you committed. You got the ball rolling. How excited was your family, and how excited were you to finally get your commitment out there?
I was excited to get it out there. Feel me? My family was happy. Coaches was happy. Brothers and sisters was happy. Everybody was happy. So, you know, Clemson feel like home. So they was all ready for me to make that announcement.
Clemson feels like home. That was Avion Terrell, AJ Terrell's brother. Again, that full exclusive article up right now on our website with the interview. Go check it out. Additionally, At that time, Avion had kind of kicked it off, and two more guys, you know, kind of came on board. Well, it has just been steamrolling as of late at Clemson. And you know, it's one of the more impressive things, I think, that the Tigers have done is how they've put together, you know, this stretch, if you will, including Saturday's commitment from four-star wide receiver out of the state of Texas, Noble Johnson, 6'2", 210 pounds, man, chiseled, looks the part. You know, if he grows another inch, another 2 inches, and again, I don't know how much he will, but if he does, look out, because that is another freakishly gifted wide receiver. Not to mention the fact that the Tigers have now gone into the Lone Star State since the 2020 recruiting class, when they brought in four-star R.J. Mickens, Andrew McCuba in 2021, Cade Klubnik in 2022, and now with Ian Reed, the offensive lineman, who projects to play guard, maybe tackle. Probably, you know, at Clemson, they like to cross-train him, but most likely a guard. Ian Reed, the Tigers have a Texas two-step and momentum continuing to roll, so much so that if you, depending on where you like to look to see your, you know, class rankings, if you will, when you look at the class rankings on Rivals, you'll note that Clemson is now all the way up in the seventh spot in the country with 10 commits. They do not have a five-star yet, according to Rivals. 9 four-star commits, 1 three-star, giving them a 3.9 average, which when you sort Clemson by the average, puts them in the sixth spot, which basically tells you the Tigers right now have a top 10 class. Our poll question, brought to you by our friends over at Kaufman's Meat and Place right here in Lexington. Their Lexington brand sausage and meats, fantastic, including their steak selections. The fan poll says, where will Clemson's 2023 recruiting class finish? Is it a top 10 class? Excuse me, a top 5 class, top 10 class, top 20 class, or outside the top 20? As for what the next couple of days could hold for Clemson, another couple of opportunities for Clemson to have a little uptick, if you will, as several prospects, including Marcus Dixon, tight end, expected to make his decision known. Dixon will be sitting down with me later today to talk about his future and you know what that looks like with an impending commitment coming. Also, later this week, on Wednesday, safety, 4-star Jalen Kilgore, and defensive end Victor Burley, 6'4", 275-pound defensive end, will both render their decisions on where they want to go. Clemson wants to get all the hay in the barn as quickly as they can. How will this trend moving forward this week? If you said to me, Swanee, could Clemson land all three? I would say it's possible, yes. The odds that they land two, probably really good. You could be looking at a class of a dozen before we're done with the show this week, maybe more. With a quick break, we'll talk a little NBA action with you on the flip side here on the show that shakes the Southland. Keep it locked on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Follow the show on Twitter, at Clemson Sports. That's easy. We're on Instagram as well, Facebook. You can find us. Be a part of what we do. Share our content. Help us grow. Thank you for what you do. Well, the NBA playoffs, nearly a half a week ago, and I know what you're thinking. What do you mean, Swanee, nearly half a week ago? Well, it was Friday. This is what I was saying earlier. It's 19 days to have the NBA Finals, and it looks like we're going 7. Friday, the Warriors beat the Celtics 107-97. Yeah, Swanee, that's exaggeration. It had been half a week. Well, okay, what's half of 7? 3.5. All right, tonight when this game gets going, it will have been 3 days since these two teams played. Basically half a week. 107-97, the final score. Steph Curry, tremendous, and he had to be. 43-10-4 in the game. Jason Tatum was good for the Celtics, 23-11-6. Not good enough. A 10-point loss, staving off the brink of elimination and giving themselves an opportunity to fight for another day. Now, I said I thought Draymond Green had to be better. I thought Draymond Green had to produce. Did not. Just 2 points in the game. But 9 rebounds and 8 assists. Assists there being the key part of this. Keeping his teammates involved. He did shoot 0-for-2 from 3-point line, which not satisfied with. But I think it becomes increasingly more difficult now for the Celtics because they got to win at least one game at Golden State. And I know they've already done that, but Steph Curry was, quote, injured prior to game 4 and played like Johnny Buckets. Who knows what he'll do tonight? I mean, Steph Curry is locked in during this series. He has been as good as we've seen in recent years in the NBA Finals. I would make the argument that at this point, if Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors were to lose this series and Curry continues to play the way he's played, this guy might get the MVP on the losing team. And I know that's rare. 34-5-5 in game 1, 29-6-4 in game 2, 31-4-2 in game 3, and 43-10-4 in game 4. 107-97, the final score for the Golden State Warriors, as Steph Curry has simply been cooking on the court. And so, as he goes, it feels like the Warriors go. And clearly, Draymond Green doesn't have to score. I was wrong. I thought he would. But again, 8 assists, that's big. Curry was 14 of 26 with 7 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Just the 5th guard in NBA history to have at least 40 points and 10 rebounds in a finals game. Draymond Green called the performance incredible. Said Steph put him on his back, willed them to win. A game they had to have. And with that, they steal back the momentum. They steal back home court advantage. And now have a chance tonight, again, 9 o'clock on ABC, to put the Celtics in the exact spot that it felt like Golden State was in going into Friday night's game. Back against the wall in trouble. I mean, that's what, to me, is kind of wild about the whole thing. More than anything else is the fact that how quickly this series has gone from game 1, where you felt like Golden State was in control, to the Celtics winning game 2 and making you think, okay, well, it's not going to be a sweep, to winning game 3 and making you think, holy moly, maybe Golden State's in a lot of trouble, to then, shoes on the other foot. Like, it is amazing to me. Now, you might not like the NBA. You might not like to watch it. You might not like these two teams. I mean, whatever the circumstance that you have for not tuning in is, that's on you. Sure, good. But to me, as an observer, how quickly it went from, okay, Golden State's just going to do this thing, to a couple games later going, uh-oh, Warriors, your run might be done, to now you feel good. Like, if we came out of this tomorrow or tonight and coming into tomorrow's show with Boston winning and seizing control again, only to have Golden State go back and steal it back for a game 7 at home, like, I'm not like Clark W. Griswold, hair sewn to the carpet shocked, right? That's been the fingerprint of this series. Every time What did Rowdy Roddy Piper used to say? Every time they get the questions, every time they think they have the answers, I change the questions. Something like that. Is that the old Rowdy Roddy quote?
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
Classic Roddy Piper, Piper's Pit. And that feels like this series, man. Every time I think I know something about it, there's a legendary performance by Steph Curry. There's a step forward in the pecking order of the NBA for Jason Tatum. Like, it's one thing after the other with a confidence-shaking result. I do think, more now than ever, I think tonight Golden State wins at home. I think Boston probably wins at home, and then I think we have a game seven back in the Bay Area. But quite frankly, at this point, it's anybody's guess as to what could happen. Anybody's guess. 803-450-0086. So with that, I'll take Golden State to win tonight. But there's not a high level of confidence because this series has been wide open in a lot of respects. Follow the show on Twitter, at Clemson Sports, as Clemson news, notes, information, and more. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'll hit a quick break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on hour one. Stay with us. Final segment in hour number one here, the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk again. College World Series dominated by, the Super Regionals, the route to the College World Series has been dominated by SEC teams as so far five out of the six teams in are from the Southeastern Conference or are future Southeastern Conference teams. I mean, that is just a wild, wild thing to consider. Texas, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss and Oklahoma have already booked tickets to the College World Series. Tennessee would have been there had it not been for Notre Dame. That would have made it a 6-for-6 special today. Instead, it's 5 out of 6 with Auburn and Oregon State tonight potentially making it 6 out of 7 or what will be 6 out of 8 as Stanford, UConn, obviously, neither of those teams are from the SEC. But the broader point being, and I said this at the beginning of the show, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I think as leagues expand and the amount of leagues contract, things like this are going to pop up. It's just inevitable. It would almost be like saying to me today, like, oh, man, Swanee, can you believe that two NFC South teams are playing in the NFC Championship or, you know, two AFC East teams? Like, that's the nature of how this works. And when you've got leagues set up the way they are, now, certainly it's dominant when it's a series or a tournament, but I don't blink and go, oh, man, that's it for Atlantic Coast Conference baseball. 803-450-0086, although it was a disappointing week for the ACC in the Super Regionals, as only Notre Dame made it out. Again, the big news to kind of follow on this front is what does the advancement of Link Jarrett and Notre Dame do for his potential hiring? Again, Florida State parted ways with their head coach, Mike Martin Jr., the son of legendary head coach Mike Martin, on Friday. His father was the winningest coach in Division I baseball history. Mike Martin. I don't know who Mike Morton is. I apologize. If Mike Morton's out there, don't worry, buddy. You still have a job, I think. But Mike Martin Jr. Was relieved of his duty on Friday, and now, again, I think for Florida State, maybe the Seminoles, who went 1-2 in the NCAA regional to end their season at 34-25 in ninth place in the Atlantic Coast Conference, I think that Florida State may have believed one of two things. Either A, that Clemson might be getting close with Link Jarrett, or B, that Link Jarrett would be on the, you know, on the market today at Notre Dame. And instead, they beat the top-rated team in the country, 2 out of 3 in Tennessee, and they got plenty of baseball left to play. So I don't know what, you know, the sentiment is today in Tallahassee, but I would imagine that's not great. Because I would imagine that with the change at the top, these guys would have hoped, the Florida State administration, I should say, would have hoped that they might be getting ready to make a big announcement. Instead, now they wait. What does that mean for Clemson in their timeline? We're not sure. Still not certain what's going to play out for the Tigers. I know this, there has been a considerable amount of excitement around the name Eric Backich, Michigan's head coach and a former Clemson assistant. So, from that standpoint, still kind of eyeballing this whole thing. Again, I have talked to Graham Neff and look forward to having him on the program once they conclude the search and a new coach is named. Also looking forward to having the new coach on the program to talk about, you know, the expectations or his expectations for the future of the Clemson baseball program as well. So there will be some great interviews coming. And, of course, you know we'll put those over on our website as well, as there is no doubt a lot of interest around what these two ACC programs managed to pull off when it comes down to their next head coaches, given the fact that, you know, in this league, I mentioned Virginia Tech earlier, like if Florida State or Clemson was at the top of the league right now, there's probably more respect garnered by the conference just because of their name and their history in the sport. That's just a byproduct of success. But instead, these two programs, which some may deem storied in terms of the success that they've had compared to their contemporaries in the league, are both now looking for a head coach. So that is an additional storyline to follow over the next little bit for sure. 803-450-0086. Text line and phone line, always available to you. Coming up in hour number two, we typically get hooked up with our good buddy William Qualkenbush. Instead, he is on vacation. That will not be the case. Never heard back from Aaron Fitt or Kendall Rogers from D1Baseball.com, as I'm sure they are just covered up with everything going on as we get closer and closer to the college World Series. Nonetheless, I will try to get on with one of those guys here in the next couple of days. So, more of me, less of them, coming up in hour number two of the show. We'll hit a quick break. We'll bounce back with more on the show that shakes the Southland.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
It is hour number two. That's drive time right here on the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you on a Monday afternoon, hot Monday, but having a good time. Recruiting hot in Tiger Town, as we mentioned earlier. Interview up with Avion Terrell, commitments over the weekend. Clemson today picking up the commit from an NFL legacy and Jamal Anderson, his father, the Dirty Bird originator. Hoping to catch up with him later today. A couple of other commitments coming up over the next few days. I talked with Champ Thompson, defensive lineman out of the state of Georgia last night. We're staying busy. $1 over on our website for 3 months of coverage. After that, $63.17. So, Clemson, one of the things that I think surprises a lot of people is that the Tigers don't offer a lot of players. And Dabo Swinney's fairly stringent rules about not taking visits elsewhere. That like, it sometimes rubs people the wrong way. But Swinney's kind of thought process on this is, look, we are not only committed to you, we're not going to go get another player at your position. We've got it set up the way we want it. It works well. And we just want to do it this way for clarity's sake. So that a kid doesn't feel lost in the wash. I mean, you're going on and on and on about it. And one of the things that doesn't happen often, and we're continuing to monitor the situation with Nathaniel Joseph, who is committed to Clemson, is that guys either A, break off their commitment, or B, flip. Now, Clemson, of course, lost a couple of guys when Brent Venables took the job at Oklahoma, and that's an understandable position. You know, that's something that happens. And I really respect players who say, you know what, I'm going to stick it out because I'm not necessarily committed to a coach. I'm committed to the program, and I think that this is the program where I can be successful and have my talent develop. But there are other guys that feel differently, and they'll change their commitments, and it's the way it goes. All that being said, today Georgia flipped Josh Miller, who was previously committed to Penn State. Miller received an offer from the Bulldogs during a visit to the Classic City back on May 7th, and he said in a post on his Twitter account, "First and foremost, I want to thank God for all the blessings and opportunities that he has given me. I want to thank Penn State and the fans for taking a chance on me, supporting me and loving me. This wasn't an easy decision to make. However, after sitting down with my family of the role models, listening to my heart, I want to take my recruitment to another level. With that being said, I will be flipping my commitment to the Georgia Bulldogs." Josh Miller, out of Richmond, Virginia, now committed to Georgia. Three-star offensive lineman, four-star maybe depending on where you look. But, you know, this is the thing, quite frankly for me, that I appreciate about covering Clemson. Not that these things never happen, but that these things rarely happen. And so I often feel like when we interview players, when we talk to guys that are going to Clemson,
there isn't a huge concern on my part, you know, that there's going to be a rewrite of history. You know, outside of something major happening like a coaching change, the majority of these young men are simply excited to be at Clemson, and there's not a whole lot else you can do to flip their mind, to change their mind. And I appreciate that. I think it's a lost art, so to speak, or a lost part of the recruiting process in a lot of respects. And so Dabo Swinney's a little old fashioned, but it works. And again, today landing 4-star linebacker out of the state of Georgia, Jamal Anderson, the potential for another couple, maybe 3 pickups over the next few days for your Clemson Tigers. Now, in other news, get this. According to an Open Records release, Texas A&M officials asked the SEC to consider suspending or fining Nick Saban for his comments that he made about Texas A&M recruiting. Again, if you don't recall, Nick Saban essentially accused Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher of unscrupulous recruiting practices, including using NIL to, quote, buy every player on their team, or they, quote, bought every player on their team. Texas A&M University President Catherine Banks and Director of Athletics Ross Bjork told SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey the conference should consider suspending and fining Nick Saban for his comments. Through an open records request obtained by On3 Network, Bjork sent Sankey on May 19th an email which was co-signed by Banks. There were also records of multiple phone calls, or at least conversations that morning. According to the email exchange, Sankey and Texas A&M football coach Jimbo Fisher spoke on the phone prior to Fisher's press conference where he went in on Nick Saban as well. So even though this thing is now in the past, it certainly doesn't look like it's going into the past. The email stated Coach Saban's statement was a blatant violation of SEC bylaws regarding sportsmanship. More significantly, without citing any facts to support his statement, Coach Saban is accusing every single player at Texas A&M's recruiting class and current football team of violating NCAA NIL guidelines and Texas state law. Now, if you don't remember, Jimbo Fisher's comments back were absolutely riveting. Some of the most riveting comments, perhaps about Coach Saban, that we'd ever heard of. And the league eventually reprimanded both coaches after it was all said and done, in part because Saban's comments were certainly bad enough, but Jimbo Fisher just peeled back every layer and essentially made it out to sound like any success that Nick Saban has had is only success because of the malfeasance that goes on behind the scenes for him. Alabama opens their season September the 3rd against Utah State, and they host Texas A&M on October the 8th, if you want to keep your eyeballs on that story. But, I mean, first and foremost, the thing you have to recognize is that, yes, the statements by Saban were inappropriate. The follow-up by Jimbo Fisher was relentless. And so, I don't know if these two guys will be golfing together anytime soon or exchanging Christmas cards. And I know that Fisher kind of wants it gone by the wayside. But at this point, man, that October the 8th matchup, I said it then, I'll say it now. That is going to be one you do not want to miss. Because the gloves have come off. Of course, Alabama lost last season to Texas A&M. But given the past month or so.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's just the half of it. That's just, it. Not even. It is wide open what we're seeing right now in the world of Alabama and Texas A&M, two of the top teams in college football, going after it during the offseason. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. Be a part of the show anytime. Thank you again for all you do to support our program as we continue to grow. One of the storylines here today, one of the biggest storylines, obviously that of Jamal Anderson, the commit to Clemson, but you know, I want to take it one step further and really hone in on, you know, what is the future of Clemson defensively with Wes Goodwin as the defensive coordinator? And the one trend that we see at this point, given the recruitment and the commitment from Anderson, is that the thought process about the value of versatility and players like Trenton Simpson, like Barrett Carter, is apparently going to continue to be a staple for Clemson because that's the mold and that's the ilk, if you will, of what they're hoping to get from Jamal Anderson. And furthermore, I think the other thing you have to kind of ask yourself is when you look at Clemson with the 10 commits, the job they're doing, with a unheralded and unknown defensive coordinator leading the way, what might that turn into if Clemson has tremendous success this year under Wes Goodwin? Like, you saw a sample. You know, when you go to the mall and there's that person standing out and they're giving away like the free chicken, one little piece. You saw a sample. And against Iowa State, Clemson's defense did not at any point, and you can go back and find the tapes of this show, did not at any point look like Brent Venables was in Oklahoma. I mean, to me, it looked like Clemson's defense. But I can only imagine if the Tigers have a high level of success this season, and if that defense produces elite numbers, what could the recruiting trail look like for the 2024 cycle. Right? Like, what could it look like moving forward if all of a sudden the name Wes Goodwin isn't just some who, but some, oh yeah, I want to go play for that guy. Like, that's the kind of player I want to play for. Or excuse me, that's the kind of coach players want to play for. And so from the defensive recruiting aspect, more so than offense, obviously, losing Tony Elliott to Virginia is a big deal, but more so from the defensive aspect, to me, Clemson has as much growth potential as they've had in a while, because not that there's a back step, not that, you know, this group or this recruiting class is going to be a down year on the defensive side of the ball because of the changes. I mean, the Tigers already have Avion Terrell committed, four-star. David Ojibwe, four-star defensive end. Terrell, by the way, a corner. Brandon Strozier, nearly a four-star cornerback. Now Jamal Anderson, four-star linebacker. I mean, the there is strength and talent in this group. And let's not forget Kylan Webb as well, another four-star. I mean, he's considered he's considered an athlete in this class, but he's trending towards being a defensive pickup for Clemson on that front. So this is a good group, and I almost left him off the list because he's just listed. Kylan Webb is just listed as athlete on our website. I'm going to switch it up while I got you. Defensive backs, that's where we're going to situate him for now. And we'll continue to see. But, yeah, I think the growth potential of this group over the next 6 months through the end of the calendar college football campaign, and maybe not necessarily the growth of this group, but the resume of Johnny Carrots, Wes Goodwin, can potentially tick Clemson up another notch in the mind's eye of 2024 prospects. I mean, I think that is a real storyline to follow. I think the commitment of Anderson again shows that Clemson is not changing that philosophy all that much. Going to be a very similar, a very similar style of play defensively under Wes Goodwin, and that is an attacking downhill style, but with linebackers that can not only get out in space, that can not only contain the edge, but also have the ability to not only run with running backs coming out of the backfield or tight ends, but maybe even challenge some with wide receivers in the slot if necessary. The game has changed a lot. The speed of the game has changed a lot. And the emphasis on playing quick is something that we've heard a lot about from Wes Goodwin. But additionally, being quick to me is another huge part of that for the Clemson Tigers. And it would seem, from this observer's perspective, that Jamal Anderson fits that billing exactly. And we are looking forward to talking with Jamal tonight, maybe even tomorrow, about his commitment to Clemson. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line, be a part of the show anytime, any place, and anywhere. You know, we talked with Monty Lee just after he was fired at Clemson. And he talked glowingly about some of the prospects that were coming into Clemson, and that if whatever or whomever the coaching staff became could keep these guys together, that, you know, the future was very bright at Clemson. But the Tigers have lost a prospect. We've seen some players transfer as well. But the Clemson Tiger baseball team loses one of the top prospects in their class. We will tell you who it is in just a few minutes. 803-450-0086. That is a text line and the phone line. And again, thank you for being a part of what we do here on the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, on a Monday afternoon. We keep it rolling on Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, and around the world on the iHeart Radio app. Happy Monday, Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swan, Hour 2. Again, no William Quackenbush there, sorry. That's the way it goes. It happens. He's on vacation. Give the man a break. Let the man be, you know, have a little break. All right, so the Clemson Tiger baseball team, we talked with Monty Lee just after he was fired at Clemson. And in one of the byproducts, I mentioned this earlier, one of the things that can happen, football, baseball, basketball, coaching changes, guys drop off. Well, the top position player in Clemson's 2022 recruiting class that was expected to enroll this month is no longer going to go to Clemson. Chris Maldonado, an infielder out of Short Hills, New Jersey, goes to Seton Hall Prep High School. His brother played at Pittsburgh. He's got another brother who's a right-handed pitcher at Vanderbilt. He is not going to be coming to Clemson at this point. He will no longer be attending Clemson following Monty Lee's dismissal. And unfortunately,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is what happens. And so I think it begs the question, quite frankly. I think it does beg the question, like, timing of changing in coaches and when is it best to make a move? And should you, as a athletic department, before you, like, let's just say, for instance, you didn't fire Monty Lee yet, okay? Let's just say Monty Lee's still employed at this point. And I'm not saying you want to pull the wool over the eyes of players, but I do think that when you have an elongated gap between your firing and your hiring, you look like you're not prepared. Monty Lee was fired in May, May 31st, 2 weeks ago. And I'm not saying that this group isn't prepared, but the perception that you're not, the perception that you can't find a coach, the perception makes it feel like your program isn't desirable. So, for me, if I am, you know, if I'm the athletic director, if I'm Graham Neff, and I know we are parting ways with Monty Lee, I don't want this thing to drag out. Like, I want to say, all right, Coach Lee, appreciate you. And then in 2 days, I want to have the press conference for the next guy. And I don't care if there's backlash from people to say, oh, you already knew who you were going to get before you fired him. You should. You should. I mean, you keep your eyes on the road when you're driving, don't you? You should know what's coming next. And so it's not to say that Clemson's in that spot, but I just feel like, look, if you go from Monty Lee to the next guy in a couple of days, 3-4 days, uncertainty about your program doesn't exist. Maybe Maldonado had a relationship with whoever Clemson brings in. Maybe he doesn't decommit. With the transfer portal and everything being what it is, it may end up that it's not a huge deal because perhaps whoever arrives at Clemson can go out and get some of the fixes that they feel necessary from the portal. But to me, 2 weeks is too long to have to wait when you're going to talk about the expectations of the program being a top 15 program in the country. A top 15 program, in my opinion, has a coach days after they fire their guy, not weeks. Well, they were in the postseason. Then keep Monty Lee on board. You know, tell Coach Lee, say, look, Coach Lee, we're gonna have to back this meeting up. I've got some other stuff I got to deal with. Even if that means that you're kind of ducking Coach Lee for a little while. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to treat a person poorly. But what I think the perception is at this point for some people is, well, if Clemson baseball is such a desirable job, why is it sitting open for 2 weeks? Fair point. I mean, there's the logistics behind it and the reality that it just is something that begins to fester. It begins to fester. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line. Let me know, am I wrong on that? Like, I'm not saying you need to have the ink and the contracts printed out for the next guy already. But doesn't it make your business, and this business for Graham Neff right now, is the baseball job. Doesn't it make your business look like they are better prepared for the uncertainties of the future? And I know the coaches potentially are out there, still in Florida State, put themselves in a similar spot, firing Mike Martin Jr. last week. But had Clemson waited until Friday to fire, this past Friday to fire Monty Lee, you'd only be a couple of days in right now. And the recruits would still be on board. I mean, it's just a thought process, okay? Let me know. Am I right or wrong? Patience would not have been bad in a situation like this, in my opinion. Stay with us. Back at it on a Monday afternoon, Lawton Swan, Clemson Sports Talk. So earlier, we talked a little bit about the SEC and their dominance, the future SEC members and their dominance as it pertains to the College World Series at this point, with a couple of games remaining to be settled, including tonight Auburn taking on Oregon State, and the Auburn Tigers could become the sixth SEC team in out of the eight teams in the College World Series. Again, I'm including Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC, even though they are not yet members. But some news did come out late last week about the Big 12. Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF all reached an exit deal with the American Athletic Conference, and they will join the Big 12 next season. 2023 Cincinnati, Houston, UCF will all be playing in the Big 12. Now, this is important for those teams specifically because of recruiting, which we've talked about here on the program a good bit today. I can't tell you the difference that it should make for those three schools to be able to go out and recruit as Big 12 programs, even less Texas and Oklahoma. Additionally, BYU, who is an independent and is joining that league, will also join in time to start the 2023-2024 football season. Oklahoma and Texas will leave for the SEC in 2025, which could create a strange dynamic, obviously, in the Big 12 next season. But there is the potential that that timeline could change. If it doesn't, the Big 12 through 2025 will be played at 14 teams for two seasons. So kind of a strange, you know, addition, I guess you'd say, to this storyline as we follow the ever expanding waistlines. Is that the right word? The ever expanding conferences in college football. According to the terms, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF will each pay $18 million to exit the American Athletic Conference. The schools will be paying a $10 million exit fee in four annual payments through 2024, and they agreed to pay an additional $8 million spread out over 12 payments from 2025 through 2036 to be able to leave at the end of essentially a calendar year, right? So July 1st, 2023, they joined the Big 12. Next season's college football will feature a Big 12 with Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and BYU. And I'm okay with that. And it'll feature at this point Texas and Oklahoma. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Big 12 just goes ahead and tries to figure out how to get Texas and Oklahoma to leave as well with their financial compensation that they'd certainly get from those two schools and do it quickly. Because I'll tell you the last thing I think you want if you are the Big 12. And Oklahoma and Texas know this too, but you can't let them put the screws to you either, right? Because you've got the contract. You've got the rights to keep them locked in. But if they just dominate those new schools, if Texas and Oklahoma just beat the brakes off of Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and BYU before they come in, then your league takes a hit. And you can avoid said hit by just kind of having a little escape clause. Once you know you got all your teams in the boat, which it looks like they're going to, then come up with a deal that you think is fairly reasonable and send the Sooners and the Longhorns east. Be like, adios, guys. Not no concern there. We're good. Have fun. Thanks for the money. Thanks for the memories. And I just, man, you know, when Texas A&M left the Big 12, that definitely left a vacancy between Texas A&M and Texas. And now with Oklahoma leaving the Big 12, that's going to leave a vacancy for Oklahoma State. I would make the argument, and that, again, I've always said, I like South Carolina as a rival. South Carolina as a rival football program is one that I always want to play because there's some of my identity wrapped up in the Gamecocks, wrapped up in the rivalry, wrapped up in the matchups against one another. And because of that, even though you would say, you know, some of you would pound a drum that said, I hate South Carolina. If I said, do you hate them enough to never play them again? You would say, no, I don't hate them that much. I want to play them. I want to beat them. But playing them and beating them also comes along with being beat by them sometimes. No, I got to have it, right? So they are a part of your identity. They're a part of who you are as a fan. It's Luke without Vader, right? That doesn't compute. You can't have one without the other. And I can't imagine being Oklahoma in Oklahoma State and knowing that rivalry, you know, is being split the way it is. So as they've already said, Bedlam is on life support. We'll see what happens. Maybe they can find a way to schedule each other, but what a weird dynamic these moves around the country and some of these major conferences is having on some of the great matchups in our sport. 803-450-0086. Text us anytime, any place, anywhere. We'll hit a quick break here on a Monday afternoon, and we'll come back and put a big old bow on the show that shakes the Southland. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Monday afternoon. NBA Finals tonight, Game 5. Golden State, Boston. I'm going to take the Warriors here. My confidence interval, about 2. So basically, I'm almost 0 for the series. I really think I'm 1 of 3. I got the opener. I think the Warriors do win tonight, though. They're going to be riding a lot of momentum. The arena will be rocking. Now, that place will be just going bonkers. And I think that'll be hard. I think that will be hard for the Celtics to overcome. They are still, in my opinion, the less seasoned of these two teams. And a momentum, you know, in a series that's kind of driven by momentum. I just, you know, I think about what fans in that arena with the opportunity, and not to mention this too. Golden State, like if you are a team that wins over and over and over and you have a great run of success, it can get difficult at times. I think it can get difficult to maintain that high level of play, that high level of fandom. You just get burnt out a little bit. But when you've had your toes dangled over the fire of potentially falling into a championship series being lost, I think you probably have a little more gusto from the fans, from the players, from the coaching staff. I mean, I just think that it would, you know, I don't know a great example of this, but if I think about any time you're maybe driving down the road, right, and you're getting a little tired, you're getting a little weary. I mean, there's a lot of techniques. I'm sure some of you have done the old roll the window down, stick the head out the window. Common technique. The other is to pull over and get you a cup of coffee. And then you're more aware, you're more alert, you're kind of ready to go. And that's what I think has probably happened to the Golden State Warriors. I think the Golden State Warriors are, quite frankly, I think they are excited about the opportunity that's now in front of them. And again, because of that fact, I think it's pretty obvious, because of that fact, this gives the Golden State Warriors a little bit of a leg up. 803-450-0086. All right, a couple of little news notes here and items for you. I'm excited about this. We are streaming the show live again. And quite frankly, looking forward to adding the live video component back as well. And definitely looking forward to doing more recruiting interviews this way. Again, if you've never subscribed to our website, take a look. Just go check it out. ClemsonSportsTalk.com. We're Clemson owned and operated. If you're a Clemson graduate, man, we do appreciate you. If you're not a Clemson graduate, we also appreciate you as well. But we have a little grad tag for our Clemson grads. And that's a pretty cool opportunity, you know, to support somebody that's a Clemson graduate yourself. So did that make any sense? That's why we got the ring in the logo over on our Twitter account in the banner or whatever you call it. Again, great to see Bible Belt Beauty stopping by today. Eric, Anthony, and others on the live feed earlier in the show. And I tell you, I am excited about the future. I'm telling you, Luke Wentzel's come on with us, and he's doing a tremendous job. Tyrese Ingram also crushing it, and our expanded recruiting coverage, I think you're really going to feel the difference when you go check that out on our website. Again, hard to believe we are in the middle of June. I started thinking the other day, I'm like, oh, my goodness, 4th of July is going to be here, and then boom. Boom. It'll be ACC kickoff and then college football season. So it's not far. It's not far at all. Not far off at all. All right, a couple of quick notes again, and we'll get you out of here. Don't forget, on the recruiting front, there are a couple of key commitments coming up in the next few days. First and foremost, Marcus Dixon, tight end, commits tomorrow. Clemson's looking to have two tight ends in this class. They've got Olsen Henry already committed. Then on Wednesday, June the 15th, Jalen Kilgore, the safety, and defensive end Victor Burley, both expected to commit. Not necessarily to Clemson, but both guys are expected to render a decision. Let me put it that way. Again, thank you so much for being a part of what we do. Thank you for supporting us. Tell your friends and neighbors and your friends' neighbors about the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk. We keep it real. We have a good time and a lot of fun. And we absolutely hope that you have fun tuning into the program. Hit up the website. Put the .com on it. Doggone it. That's ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Again, that's ClemsonSportsTalk.com. All right, we'll hit a quick break here. We'll come back with more. What am I talking about? We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.